Welcome to the latest episode of the People Will Talk podcast. Joining me is Maria. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You?
I'm good, thank you so much. And special guest, Danny J. Norwell. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So Danny, it's a real pleasure having you on the pod today. You are a writer. You have been living in Spain for a number of years. So we have so much that we want to ask you about, but we'll start with the most fundamental and basic question there is. Why did you move to Spain? And more importantly, what keeps you here?
Of course. Well, thank you first and foremost for having me here today. Speaking about Spain, I would say my first foray into living in Spain really came from studying abroad. I did a one semester study abroad program in Alicante as a part of my university studies. And as you can imagine, fell in love with the language and the culture and the people. So when it was time that I was graduating university and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, what made me most excited was just the idea of returning to Spain. So I pursued a program to become an English teacher, and I ended up going to the city of Granada, which I absolutely loved. I still consider it the city of my heart, but I have since met my husband here, and we decided together that although, you know, Granada feels like my place, we do both also love being at the seaside. So in terms of raising our family, that's where we saw ourselves. And we have since moved to the Costa del Sol. So yeah, that's a little bit of it, I guess. We started our family here, and that just feels like our home now.
That's very nice to hear, Danny. Well, one of the many things that you do is running this blog called Sincerely Spain, and you do it with your friend, Claudia. How do you start that? What prompted you to start it, and, you know, how's it going for you?
Yes. So the Sincerely Spain blog really has humble beginnings, I would say. We basically started it because the two of us were just getting so many questions from friends and friends of friends and people we were just very distantly connected with. We're always reaching out if they were going to be studying abroad or moving abroad or even traveling to Spain, just wanting to ask us questions of people who were here on the ground. And so that showed us that there was really a need for a resource of that nature, at least a resource that felt personal, because it seemed like people wanted to talk to us directly rather than just do an internet search. So that kind of is where it came from. And that's a little bit of the reasoning behind why we write the blog posts in the format we do. Each post is kind of like a letter written directly to one person and signed Sincerely Spain. And that's something that we've kept up for 7 years now. We have over 500 posts and a worldwide audience. And I would say it's going really well. It's a passion project, first and foremost, but we feel like we've really been able to make an impact and connect with a lot of people. And that has been a beautiful thing for us.
So obviously you do help a lot of people that, you know, read it and ask you questions. And I imagine from all sorts of places. So what kind of people do you meet? And can you tell us, in your opinion, do you think it's easy for a foreigner to settle in Spain or not so much?
Great question. To speak first to the type of people that we meet, I would say that it really is a wide range of people. When we first started with the blog, I think we both imagined that we'd be mainly speaking to study abroad students. That seemed like the main audience. But as time went on and we came into contact with more readers and more people who wanted to work with the one-on-one coaching that we offered, and as well as guest writers, everybody who we kind of formed a community with, we realized that there are people coming from all different countries, all different backgrounds, and many different lifestyles. Sometimes it's people doing a short-term study abroad. Sometimes it's people moving with their entire family. It is just so hard for me to give any sort of a description, because I think, yeah, it's so broad. But I guess what does connect everyone is we all share this this love for exploration and this sense of curiosity about different cultures and different ways of life. And of course, there's a willingness among all of these people to live outside of their comfort zone and to tackle the challenges that come along with doing that. So yeah, I would say that's a little bit to the people. And in terms of about settling in Spain as a foreigner, I guess it depends what you mean by settle, because for a shorter term experience, like I did a study abroad program or even just a year or two, if you wanted to teach abroad or just have a short term work contract, something of that nature, I would say that can be pretty easy. There are a lot of groups and bits of support to help you do something like that. But if you really are looking to move to Spain long term and to feel integrated into the community and ideally become fluent in the language and feel confident when it comes to things like bureaucracy, things of that nature, I would say it can be a bit more challenging. Although, you know, it's definitely doable if you're willing to put in the work.
You said a very interesting word, Danny, in that answer. You said exploration. And I think what is interesting for us as well is that you explore Spain through your books as well, given that you are a writer. And we'll ask more about your books in a few moments. But one thing that really stands out to us is you've done an amazing job making what you do visible. That's your blog, for example, or your book. And for a lot of people, that can be a struggle. Not only finishing something like setting up a blog or writing a book, but getting it out there for reviews and for people to find. Do you have any advice for writers of blogs or books on how they can become more visible as well with their own work?
Sure. So first off, I want to say thank you, because it's always wonderful to hear that you're doing a good job. So I wanted to say that first and foremost. But yeah, I had a long think about this. And for me, what it comes down to is two things. I would say those two things are really community and confidence. First and foremost, you need to kind of find your people. So when it comes to my books, I'm on social media, I'm engaging with other readers and writers. And then similarly with the blog, we also kind of chose Instagram as our main platform, somewhere where I wouldn't say necessarily felt comfortable at the beginning, but we felt comfortable learning it and kind of excited about what that process could look like. And we just looked for other accounts of other people living abroad, other people who were interested in travel, other bloggers. And so whatever your niche is, I'd just say you need to kind of put yourself out there and search for other people doing something somewhat similar, or at least people who might be interested in what you're doing, and to start to build friendships. It sounds a little bit cheesy maybe, but for me, social media has led to what feel like real friendships and a sense of community. And that was essential for me before even writing the book. I kind of made a mistake, I'll say it. The first book that I published, I was too nervous to do that at the beginning. And then this leads into the point about confidence. I didn't do all of these things before I published the book. So then it became quite difficult to promote it. Whereas with Snapshots of Spain and then my more recent book, Most Unlikely, I really felt I had this community in place, and therefore I had people to reach out to and people to ask to read and review my book. So yeah, I think you need to find some people to really support you, people who understand kind of what you're going through. And then you have to be confident in yourself and just get comfortable talking, like in terms of my writing, talking about your writing process, talking about your book, and talking about yourself as well. And doing all of these things as if they matter, because they do. And I think we just think, oh, nobody really cares about what I'm doing. Nobody wants to hear about this. But if you never share it, then you're never going to have the visibility.
I think that's a really sound advice for everybody. And it's true. Sometimes it's quite hard to gain the confidence. And yeah, you might think people are not interested, but then you find out that they actually are. So you mentioned your book, Snapshots of Spain. So it's a series of source stories, and it's quite fascinating because there are many themes in there, aren't they? And there's a story, for example, called Granddad, and it talks about bilingual households, which is a topic that was spoken about here and is very relevant to many people. You know, having family in other countries, aging. So was your intention there to show that, you know, when you move to a place like Spain, which everybody finds very, you know, like a kind of paradise, you still encounter the same issues that you would encounter anywhere else?
Yes. You really hit the nail on the head with all of those themes. I would say that those were the main things I was wanting to focus on, and then we could go into any of them in particular if you'd like. But overall, I would just say that I do like to explore complexity and just show the different sides of situations and the different sides of people. Because as you said, I think we often have an impression, and in this case, an impression of Spain being just a beautiful, idyllic paradise. And sometimes it can be, and sometimes that's what it looks like, especially on social media. But at the end of the day, yeah, people are going to experience the same sorts of heartache and the same sense of loss and difficulties, no matter where they live. So yeah, those are definitely the sorts of things I was hoping to bring to light in Granddad. And I think for that reason, it really resonated with people. I get a lot of positive feedback about this story in particular, which is actually available on my website for free if anyone wants to download that, kind of get a taste of the writing. And I think this is one that a lot of people connect with. So I would recommend that.
We'll definitely put your links in the description as well, so people can find these wonderful stories, one of which is the short story Versions, which really jumped out at me as well. On our podcast a few months ago, we had a man called Barry who's traveled around the world, and he commented on how the fact that you meet people briefly and they're gone and in very random circumstances can create very long-lasting impressions. And I found that in your story as well, Versions, where five friends happened to meet each other while in Spain. And I guess I just wanted to ask if these fleeting encounters with people and chance meetings, in their brevity and unexpectedness, is that what you consider gives these relationships their profundity and their meaning?
Yeah, that's very true. So I would say yes. And especially in that story, these five friends live in Santiago de Compostela. So I don't know if your listeners will be familiar, but it's the end point of the Camino de Santiago, which is this amazing pilgrimage that people do. So there are a lot of people coming through this town. And as you say, it's often these chance encounters and these really fleeting experiences, these really fleeting relationships, but they are impactful, I think, for that exact reason. I guess I would add with the five friends as well, they also have the power of a shared experience. They're all doing this study abroad program. And I think, you know, I really drew from my experience with study abroad. And I would say that that is just, it's such a transformative time, especially for me coming from the US, and I think pretty much everyone I was studying abroad with, it was our first time being so far from home. And it was our first time really outside of our comfort zone and our cultural norms. And I think, you know, living something so new like that at the same time with other people going through the same thing, I think that can lead to some deep bonding as well. So I think there are kind of those two different elements at play in the story versions.
And there's another story called Sunset. And I think you've mentioned before, and I think that's a very valuable point, that people, you know, really read your stories and engage with them and all that when they find something that resonates with them, that they can identify with. And obviously, you know, we've talked to a lot of people like living in Spain that are foreigners, and you know how easy or difficult it is to integrate and so on. But in that story, you also mentioned the pandemic, and you know it's something that affected countries worldwide. In Spain, particularly, we went into it pretty much one of the first countries. So, how was all that experience for you?
Oh, it was an experience. I'm sure you guys would say the same. It was the pandemic was taken very seriously here in Spain. And at least for me, talking to friends and family in the US and the UK, I feel like it was a very real lockdown in a way that it wasn't perhaps for the people that I was talking to in other countries. So for my husband and I, we literally did not leave our two-bedroom apartment for about 2 months. And that was a very unusual experience, hopefully something that we'll never have to live through again. But I wouldn't say that it's necessarily happened that way exactly for everyone, because we were fortunate to both be working from home and we were able to get our groceries delivered. So we didn't really have any need or excuse to leave our house, because really those were the few things that you could leave for. It was an unusual time. And I guess I would say that I really went through the gamut of emotions. And I think that comes through in Sunset. I certainly had my protagonist exploring kind of all of these different feelings that I was going through as well, because it just felt like a bit of a roller coaster, and not really knowing when it would end and what it would feel like, what the world would feel like when we kind of came out of that.
And of the many stories in your book, all have interesting things contained within them. We'll talk about one more in the time that we have today, which is the story Edu, which is a fascinating story because it's written in Spanish. And I guess I'm just curious, you know, for you as a non-native Spanish speaker, what were the challenges in writing and conceptualizing a story in another language? I'm sure exciting, but also by turns overwhelming at points as well, no?
Yes, definitely. So I guess I would say that my approach with Edu was just completely different to the way that I wrote any of the other stories in Snapshots of Spain, in comparison to any of the writing I've done otherwise. Because it was not my native language, I knew that I was going to need to work with somebody very closely to make sure that, you know, I was proud of what I was going to publish. So I was working with a Spanish teacher at the time, and we kind of just set up that, you know, a couple times a week we were going to meet and go through my short story. And it was very intensive. We really looked at things at the micro level. So with Edu, I would say that I was writing only two or three paragraphs at a time. And then I was meeting with her, and we were going through every single word, every single line, to ensure that first off, it was grammatically correct and it made sense, but then actually looking at, you know, the nuances and the stylistic choices. So first off, it was definitely just a different approach. And I didn't do very many overall edits because so much was looked at really specifically as I went. So that changed the way that the story developed. But then in terms of other challenges, I would say it comes down to the things, and I know you've had some translators on before and they did talk to this as well. There are just so many more words in Spanish. It was often difficult for me to figure out what do I want to say here? Because this is the word I would say in English. And then my teacher would be like, well, here's seven other words that might make sense for you in Spanish. And let's talk through like the nuance of each one. So that was tricky for me. But I will say that I did write it from the beginning in Spanish. I never had any drafting or anything in English, because I think that would have just complicated things even more. So I was always trying to begin it with my thoughts in Spanish, but it was very, very helpful to have her to kind of guide me and to confirm that what I was writing really went along with what I wanted to say. But yeah, then there was also just the nitty gritty of, you know, how dialogue is formatted in Spanish is different, as are the mechanics of punctuation. I feel like, you know, the sentences are written in different ways than I would have written them in English. So there's a lot of that, as well as just like trying to have a sense of style and to have my own voice in Spanish was quite different than doing it in English. And yeah, I think there was just more to consider. Like one thing that came to mind was the past subjunctive and how there are these different forms in Spanish. I think I ended up using the more literary, like say form, like fuese, when I was narrating. But then when I had people speaking, I wanted to use the more standard and familiar rough form. And so things like that, I just never thought about before. I usually use Spanish for speaking. So it was a very new experience, but as you said, challenging, but also very exciting.
You're a brave person taking on the subjunctive. it's a grammatical structure that gives me nightmares. But Danny Jane Orwell, Sincerely Spain, and also a writer extraordinaire. It's been fascinating listening to you, and I hope the people listening follow you, and I'm sure if they do, they'll benefit immensely from writing to learning about Spain in a different way. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Daniel.